Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and so we do acknowledge all those who have given their lives in defense of this country. In 1943, there were four men who were on a transport, and they were with about 900 other sailors and some merchant sailors and some other folks that were on this ship. And they were spotted by a German U-boat in the North Atlantic, and they were fired upon. And as the ship started to go down, there were four chaplains on board. And there was a Methodist pastor, a Jewish rabbi, this is not a joke, a Catholic priest, and there was a Dutch Reformed pastor as well. And these four chaplains in the U.S. Army, from very different religious traditions, all looked at one another, and they realized that there were not enough life jackets on this ship for everyone. When the ship was bombed the first time or torpedoed, several dozen people died right away. And these four men decided to be that calming influence, to be that calm center in the storm for their fellow comrades on that boat. And as it went down, they handed their life jackets, took them off, and gave them to four other guys. And some of the survivors, of which there were only a couple hundred out of 900, remembered seeing them holding each other's arms as they went under the water, and all four of them lost their lives. Congress actually created a new medal of service. It's called the Four Chaplains Honor. It's only been given out once to these four men, and it will probably never be given out again. Today we honor them and many like them who have given their lives in the act of ultimate service. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are here today because of the service and sacrifice of many who have gone before us. We thank you for those who are fighting those battles that perhaps we're not able to. And as your people, people who are motivated by your love and drawn together by your Spirit, we know that service and sacrifice are never easy. We know this because we know what Jesus has done for us. We know that Jesus went to the cross and he took on everything. All of the stuff that makes us not proud, he willingly took it on. And he served all the way to the end. God, you may not be calling us individually to serve and sacrifice in exactly that way, or in exactly the way as those four men. But you call each of us to serve one another, to be forces for good in this world, because you have revealed yourself to us. You have said, I've created you, I've created this world, and in the beginning it was good. Very, very good. Oh, so good. God, I want you to challenge us in this coming week to really reach hard and far from our comfort zones so that we can be the best people that you are making us to be, that we can be those who bless, that we can be praying for people, that we can be listening to the pain that people are going through, that we can be spending time together, whether it's eating or doing things together. And God, today, as we're challenged to serve, will you show us how we are to be your presence in this world? God, raise our vision higher. Make us one so that we can go into your world and make this world a better place. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we are on week four of our Blessed series. And in this series, we've been reflecting and reminded that God calls his people to be a continuous source of blessing in this world. In a sea of unblessing, we are called to be a blessing. And in this calling, we're actually partnering with God in this God-ordained mission that's been here since the beginning of the world. And as you partner in this way, the restoration of people back into the arms of a loving God who has never stopped loving is possible. People coming from lost, who are lost, coming to be found. People who are feeling burdened and shackled to experiencing true and complete freedom. It has the power to change everything when we bless. It's so important. And we know that blessing people can go in so many directions. There's so many ways. So in this series, we've just been zeroing in on five simple practices that we can't overlook. And we've been focusing on them through this word, bless. So we started with B, which was begin with prayer. Oh, it's you're cheating. You see it up there. And then it's listen with care. And then last week, we focused on eating or experiencing together. And now we move to the first S, which we'll come to in a bit. Each of these practices are purposely simple in nature. They're designed to improve the ability of people to experience God's love. And as people experience God's love through you, there's the possibility of accepting that invitation back to him. If every person has been created by God, then what God is waiting for is for every person to come back to him. This is our purpose in blessing. It's not to hoard blessing on ourselves or to think, man, we're so great, we're mighty. We don't say holy, 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 and then our name. We say holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So as we unwrap this fourth practice today, let's begin with prayer. God, I pray for your spirit to tune our ears this morning. Tune us into the frequency that you would have us be on, so that we can be walking in the same direction as you are, moving in the ways that you are moving. And sometimes that's going to push us further than maybe we're prepared to go on any given day. But Lord, this mission that you have us on is worth it. The blessing of the world, the restoration of people is at stake. So help us to listen now. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This week, it's always interesting how timing works. Mount Everest has been in the news a lot this week, and it's been all over the headlines of news. And I have a picture of what Mount Everest looks like. This is a picture from this week, and I know it's a little bit hard to see, but if you go all the way to the top, Mount Everest is the highest point on our planet. And if you go all the way to the top and you see this long line of people all the way waiting to get to the summit of Everest. Now, Mount Everest has such terrible weather that there's a very narrow window where people can actually get to the top. Reaching the summit is considered the crowning achievement in the life of a climber, a mountain climber. It's one of the seven mountains of the world, the seven summits that some people try to achieve in their life. But in this narrow weather window, a traffic jam, see, it's not just on Highway 4 or on 680. Traffic jams even occur on Everest, except this traffic jam has been deadly and it's left at least 10 people dead because they were too long in what climbers call the death zone, and they had to wait to descend because there's too many people there. And 10 people at least so far have died. And amidst all of the successes and the shocking tragedies, there's been Instagram posts of people talking about how they hope they didn't die. And then their loved ones find out a few hours later that, yes, they were one of the ones that passed away. Each person climbs for different reasons. Each of these people is motivated by different things. And it's a dangerous climb. And I saw this picture of one of the climbers who was going up, and I just had to share it. And this climber is using ropes and a ladder to cross what just looks absolutely terrifying. Something that I don't know that I would ever want to do. You know, maybe some of you, that's your thing. But seeing this image of the ladder, and this is just one, it really came into focus for me this week. You know, to get to the top, these people will go, they'll do whatever it takes. They'll cross many dangers, and they're each hoping for something, for a chance of glory, a place recorded in history, you know, something that people can remember them by. And this process of climbing in general is something that can be exciting, it can motivate, but it's almost always a temporary high as people start to come down from that high place. Or at worst, it ends in futility. It's a perfect metaphor for how we are told and taught we must live in this world to survive and be successful. Keep climbing higher. That's the key to success. That's the key to significance. Just go a little further, a little higher. This is what the world teaches. And let's face it, we've all bought in to some degree. We have all done it. We all are climbers, whether we know it or not. Whether it's climbing in our jobs, climbing with elements of our family, more square footage, more stuff, more degrees, whatever it is. Imagine now that this ladder is the ladder that you're climbing in your life. Some of you, maybe this is a big ladder. So, you know, we've got a smaller one here. So maybe this is your ladder. Some of you, this isn't small enough. So maybe this is your ladder. And I didn't want to use anything bigger because I didn't want people to start climbing on it and fall off. About 300 people die falling off of ladders every year. We don't want to add to that statistic. Imagine this ladder is the one that's present in your life right now. For some of you, it's the ladder of work. And at the very bottom of the ladder is this sign, and this is what it promises. Climb this and you will find significance. Keep climbing, keep climbing, keep climbing. And when you're on the ground, it doesn't look too dangerous. And we begin to climb and we work hard, and these are all good things. And we make sacrifices. And we find significance as we step on each rung. And then we get to the top and we realize, oh, there's just another ladder that's waiting for us. And we're never really at the top. And eventually we get high enough and we look down or look behind us and we realize all that we've kind of left along the way. We see the people we had to climb over, the relationships that are broken or strained, the regrets we have, the compromises we've made. It's lonely at the top. Perhaps work is not your ladder. Maybe your ladder is the ladder of leisure. The sign at the bottom of that ladder promises escape. It says, go hard, go fast, whatever it takes, you deserve it. Take a break. And as things get tough or painful at home or work, you think as you climb, well, at least I've still got Netflix. At least I've still got my yoga class. I've still got my warriors. I've still got my garage that I can putter around in to distract me. And the promise of escape that this ladder has allows us to end up knowing more about the characters in a show we watch than the state of the hearts of the people that we live with. We might achieve a new yoga pose. This morning we were testing one out. We might advance a level in some activity, but we fail to find deep intimacy with our family and close friends, let alone the people that we barely know. So we climb, hoping to release pressure, and in the end we find at the top that it only increases the pressure. There's less oxygen at the top. Maybe that's not the ladder for you. Maybe that's not the ladder that's before you. Maybe your ladder is the ladder of sex, The sign promises intimacy, fulfillment, and thrills. So you climb thinking, my needs matter. This is the way to intimacy. I just want to feel good. And yet again, you find a ladder that does not fill you up with lasting significance. Instead, it creates a growing emptiness inside of you, one that can never be filled by another person, no matter how much they love you or say that they love you. As you think about your particular ladder, ask yourself this morning, what if greatness in life isn't measured by continuing to climb? What if it's not climbing at all that Jesus is pushing us towards? You see, life as God intends it is not about climbing at all. That's life as the world teaches and intends for us. And there are some times where it's almost inevitable, and we get pulled into it, and there are times where we don't even know that we're climbing, and we are. You can't earn more, do more, perform more, or find a new loophole to achieve success, greatness, or perfection. Climbing offers none of those, even though it promises all of those. You see, Jesus entered our world and he modeled what true greatness and true significance is, and he did it by descending into our world. He came from the highest of highs and willingly laid down all that he had, all of the power that he had. He set it aside to go down to the lowest of the low places to love and serve the last, the least, the lost. So as we read John 13, I want you to know that this is in that account on the night before Jesus was betrayed. This is that series of events where they gather for the Last Supper. But John records something that happens before Jesus and his close disciples share that final meal before he goes to the cross. It's a room where there are no ladders in this room. There is no competition with one another. There is only this shared experience that teaches us what it means to truly live as the people of God in the kingdom of God. Let me read John 13 for us this morning. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, he took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested. "You will never, ever wash my feet." This guy didn't get it. Sometimes we don't get it. Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." There are other Bible translations that say, "You will have no part in me." Pretty strong. Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. You disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Foot washing was something that only slaves and servants did. And you can imagine in the days when Jesus was on earth, people's feet were dirty and dusty and calloused. They wore sandals if they had them or not. There weren't nice floors like this. There wasn't pavement in the way that we think of it. Feet got dirty. So for the one who is the Lord of all to get down on his knees to wash their feet, someone of status and power and significance, was outrageous, scandalous. It would have upset them to the core to see Jesus doing this. You don't do this. Not you. Let us do that. Yet in this one scandalous act of love, Jesus shows us most clearly how we find our way back to him. And it's by learning to kneel, not climb. The way back to Jesus is by learning to kneel, not climb. And this is a message that goes against everything that we know in our world. You know it and I know it. All of the things that we sometimes have to participate in will press against this reality. It's what makes living as Christ calls us to live so hard in our world today. But a kneeling love is only found by serving those in our midst. And this is our fourth practice, serve with love. This is how Jesus demonstrates what true serving with love looks like. It's serving on your knees, not climbing higher. Serving with love is one of the most powerful ways that you can bless other people around you. It looks and behaves radically different from our world. We know this. Serving with love will use every part of you. It will use your head. It will use your mind. That's hopefully somewhere in there, although sometimes we're not so sure. It will use your soul, that deepest part of you. It will use your body, what God created you with. And all we have to do is replace the seemingly impressive ladder with the lowly knee pad. Or what I like to have, my little kneeling pad when I'm out in the garden. Or, even better, what Mike brought for me, rolling knee pads. See, when we kneel to wash each other's feet, it might not look exactly as Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Maybe it is with rolling knee pads. Maybe not. I like it. All it takes is replacing the ladder that we're climbing with the lowly knee pad. Serving with love involves three things. It involves all of us. And there's typically three things that we kind of associate serving with. The first one is it involves the head. And by involving the head, this calls us to go low. It's not just a pun, you know. If you're tall and you go through a doorway, you got to go low to get through. That's not kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about going low. Let me read Philippians 2. This is a description that I think describes what serving with love looks like as we use our heads, as it involves our heads. Verse 5 in Philippians 2 says this. I think I wrote those verses on the back of your bulletin. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I had to keep reading. I couldn't stop. Jesus reveals his servant identity as he washed their feet, and this is the basis for your identity as well. The next step up, the next rung in the ladder that is tripping you up, is not your identity. It won't solidify your identity anymore, no matter how much it might benefit aspects of your life. Instead, your identity is found by identifying with Christ alone and living as one transformed by him to become more like him. That is where our identity is, in Christ Jesus alone. The world will tell you everything else, and sometimes our minds make us believe that. We start identifying with whatever ladder we're on, the ladder of success, the ladder of just waiting for that next thing to come around the bend. Seeking to climb is the opposite of what Philippians describes. To serve, we kneel. And although he was so great, the God that it says the heavens could not contain him, Jesus came down and became a human. And he became not just any human, but he became the lowliest of human, a servant. The lowliest in the eyes of the world, and the attitude of the servant's mind is to go low, to stay humble. To not make a spectacle of ourselves. This is actually a statue. It's made in kind of a relief of Jesus washing his disciples. When you see it in person, it's actually more impressive. You see all of the lines and the deep furrows. You capture the emotion of that moment of what Jesus was doing. The servant perspective, this serving with love, it's a perspective that no matter where you are, no matter what you do, you don't have to allow the rungs of the ladder that has a grip on you to define you. Because you don't have to be on that ladder at all. Instead, you can go low and adopt the mind of Christ. Begin to think like Jesus. Kneeling is never beneath us. It is the most profound act of loving service that we can offer in this world, because it's the act that no one else wants to do. It's the work that no one else wants to do. It's the people no one else wants to see or spend time with or talk to. All of these are about going low and getting down into the dust and dirt of this world. It involves the head calling for us to go low. It also involves the heart, which calls us to go last. Serving with love must involve the heart. If the head is where we first think of it, the heart is where serving is birthed in us. In the Gospel of Luke, on his way to the Last Supper, in fact, this is one of the verses that our kids in Kids Zone are focusing on today. There's a fight that breaks out between the disciples. And does anyone remember what they are arguing about? You know, they're on the way to this moment where they're going to have this Last Supper together. And they start arguing about something. Who is the greatest? Jesus is about to do everything for them, and they're thinking, man, I want to find out what seat I have at the table. They thought Jesus was going to take over soon, kick out the Romans, grab the power, and they wanted a seat at his table. Of course they're fighting. This is what Luke says, chapter 22, 24. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus shuts this right down by telling them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. Not here, for I am among you as one who serves. They were climbing on the ladder, trying to find out what position they were going to have, who's the greatest. We all know Muhammad Ali is the greatest, but in their day, they thought they were the greatest. So, of course, what does Jesus do? He kneels to teach them what greatness really looks like. And in so doing, he reveals his heart. When Jesus reveals his heart, it's a sign to us that this is the character that our heart should take as well. Jesus modeled one by one a love that kneels, sacrificing everything, all that was necessary so that they, his disciples, could find their way back to him. When you consider who was there sitting at this table, whose feet Jesus washed, he washes the feet of Judas. He loves him to the end, his soon-to-be betrayer. When have we kneeled to serve those who've betrayed us? Oof. This one hurts. Jesus washes Thomas's feet. When have we kneeled to serve those who doubt you, doubt us? Jesus washes Peter's feet. When have we kneeled to serve someone ashamed to associate with us? Oof, these hurt. Jesus kneeled to serve everyone always without judgment because his heart was formed as a servant. He was always willing to go last. Are our hearts willing to kneel likewise? To kneel for those we disagree with? Those who talk about us behind our backs, those who don't like us, or those who have hurt us. Is this a message that the world likes? No, not at all. I don't even want to make it about the world, even our country. This is a message that doesn't preach very well. You can go try it, but God be with you. The one who is greatest shall become a servant. That's greatness, as Jesus Christ defines it. And it's birthed in the heart. Serving with love involves the heart, and it calls us to go last. If we have the head and the heart, what do you think the third one is? It involves our hands. That's why I loved that this was the shared experience that our kids participated in last week, this picture of all of their beautiful hands, various colors. They used all their creativity. Serving with love involves our hands. It always involves those bodily parts of us, calling us to go love. Serving is not about angling to climb faster, to go harder or further. In fact, it's not about climbing at all. Jesus has already told us in John 13 what he expects. He says, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. It doesn't get much clearer than that, brothers and sisters. Climbing rungs is the opposite of being Christ-like. And we've all done it. And to acknowledge it, there's no condemnation there. It's just to acknowledge that we do climb when perhaps we have to kneel more. Oh, but Pastor, if I just had this or did this, then I'd really be able to serve. No, serving with love doesn't take hardly anything. You know, even if your knees are not super functional, we all have them, and we're all capable of kneeling. if your knees are hurting, maybe Mike would even give you his rolling knee pads to try out. Maybe that would help. Serving with love is all about this mindset, the posture, the actions of being Christ-like. We don't do it to gain fame. We don't do it to sell books. We don't even do it to see bodies come through that door. We don't do it to seem better or feel better or have more followers. We're called to be a blessing. And climbing is that form of blessing that sometimes we restrict our mind to, and we think that all the ways that God has blessed us is the limit or scope of his blessing. Sometimes we forget even what the purpose is, that everything that God blesses us with, and he does bless us with things like promotions. He can bless you with the things that you need in your life. But that's never the purpose, just to end there. We know this. The purpose is always for us to then respond to that and to continue to reach out into our world to be that blessing. We're blessed when we are blessing others. That's perhaps the best blessing that there is. When we're living obediently in God's strength and under his power and acting in love as Christ does. Real blessing is when we are a blessing. Using our hands, going to love, and serving our world. This is how we will show the character of Christ to the world. Our head, our heart, our hands. It takes all of us because God made us as complete beings. I want to encourage you this week that as you start to look for ways to serve others with love, that you are not only helping bless them, but you're actually helping people to discover that they actually have the option of getting off the ladder, that there is another way and that they are able to find their way back to God, that they're able to see that the way to greatness in God's eyes can't be found by looking up or climbing higher. We only find that by kneeling. As we pray, I want to encourage you that you ask the Holy Spirit. I listed one question on the back of your bulletin. Very simple. Ask the Holy Spirit, who are you leading me to bless this week? By serving them with the kneeling kind of love that Jesus models for his followers. Where and how will you serve the people that God brings into your life? We already mentioned that on the back of your insert, some of you struggled to come up with ideas. There's a list of very helpful things. That's a good starting point. Some of you are super great with ideas, and so you could make a list 10 times as long. Maybe you start with one of these, or maybe you have a different idea that works. Be gracious and open to receive also the ways that people might want to serve you. Receiving the service of another might be the way that you actually bless someone this week. Because perhaps God has spoken to them that he wants them to bless you. Don't deny them what God has called them to do. That's why, you know, we've always talked, it's hard to receive. Well, when we put this in a proper perspective, it should be easy for us to receive the help of others. God has probably spoken to that other person. May God speak to you this week. Let's pray. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will prompt us right now, bringing names to our minds. Several weeks ago, there were over 180 names that were listed on the bookmarks that we shared. Perhaps it's one of those names on the list, and this is the week that we finally reach out to serve them with love. Where and how we will serve them, I pray that you show us, Lord. Jesus, thank you for washing your disciples' feet. Teach us to kneel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.